episode 90 of The Virtual Couch. I'm your host, Tony Overbay. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, certified mindful habit coach, writer, speaker, husband, father of four, ultra marathon runner, and creator of The Path Back, an online pornography addiction recovery program that is helping people reclaim their lives from pornography addiction. If you or anyone that you know is struggling with pornography addiction, please point them to pathbackrecovery.com. There you can download a short ebook that describes five common mistakes that people make when trying to overcome pornography addiction. Again, that's pathbackrecovery.com. Okay, before we get to today's interview, please take a quick second and head to tonyoverbay.com. You can sign up there somewhere in the middle of the page to find out more about an upcoming program that I'm working on how to be happy. And you can follow The Virtual Couch at Virtual Couch on Instagram. And you can find out about today's show on my Facebook page, Tony Overbay, Licensed and Marriage Family Therapist. And today's interview with my special guest, my wonderful daughter, McKinley, is on my Virtual Couch YouTube channel. So you can go there and watch the interview if you are so inclined. And while you're there, please subscribe and thumbs up and like and all of that good stuff. Okay, and I hope for those of you who are in the U.S. or U.S. folks abroad, anyone who celebrated Thanksgiving, I hope yours was wonderful. And on that note, I made a bit of a big deal on my episode last week, the one on gratitude. And at the beginning of that episode, I did some fun facts about Thanksgiving, which was something I had done last year as well. But I did some fun facts that a small percentage of people dressed up for Thanksgiving. And I made a couple of jokes about dressing up in a turkey costume, perhaps as a pilgrim. And my wife was actually the first, but not the last, to text me and say that what it meant was dressing up not just in sweats and a t-shirt, that it meant dressing up as in dressing up and looking nice when you come to Thanksgiving dinner, not necessarily as a turkey and or pilgrim. So first, I did feel a little bit silly, but then I justified to her that the article I was reading was full of graphics. And for example, when they said how long it would take to burn off your Thanksgiving calories, it showed a cartoon of a guy who was just dying on a treadmill. And when it showed the percentage, the number of people who dressed up, it did in fact show a guy in a pilgrim costume. Granted, it was a cartoon, a drawing, but it did show a guy in a pilgrim costume. So admittedly, in that moment, I was all in on people dressing up as their favorite Thanksgiving character while they were eating their Thanksgiving dinner. So looks like I missed that one. So I'm not so full of pride to say that that I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. But I did say that I felt a tiny bit justified by my concept of what it meant to dress up as Thanksgiving. And maybe we can start a tradition. Maybe next year I will come to Thanksgiving dinner dressed up in a pilgrim costume. So my guest today, it is my second daughter, McKinley Overbay. She goes by Mackie, and we cover that at one point on the podcast. And I know it's absolutely nepotism to have the host daughter on the podcast, but honestly, I would love to have her and all of my kids, my wife, anyone on more, if it will be anything like what Mackie was like on this episode. As you probably read in the episode description and you'll hear in the episode, Mackie has been pretty open about her struggles with depression since an Instagram post that she made a little over 7 months ago. And I don't want to spoil anything in the episode, but for those who have and do suffer with depression, you know that it doesn't just happen one day. So needless to say, this is something that my wife and I have been aware of for a long time. And there have been some times where it is truly, somebody's cutting onions in the room here. It's a little emotional. It truly has, it's broken my heart to see what she's been going through and wanting desperately to help, but sometimes not feeling like we know what to do. And somebody in the mental health field, is with that being my job, you can know what you would tell a client or the parents of a client, you know, from sitting in front of just hundreds and hundreds of people that suffer with this exact, you know, I mean, and no two people's depression, honestly, are alike, but knowing what to say, knowing that I may have the training, the clinical training, or just sitting in front of people. But then when you're working with somebody that you care about so much that you love so much, you can just feel helpless at times. And then you'll realize that this isn't about you, that, you know, they're the ones that are truly in pain, and you just want to sit there with them and just do whatever you can to help them know that things are going to be okay, that they're going to be able to get through whatever it is that they're going through. So I guess I just bring it up to say that a lot of the feedback I get is, a lot of it is just about, oh, it must be great to, I don't know, for my wife, there are people that want her on the podcast and to hear what that's like. And Mackie and I joke about that a little bit because, I must be fluent in EFT all the time or extremely empathetic or those sort of things. Or it must be great to have the skills or the tools to help people in my own family. And again, sure, it's nice to feel like you know what you're supposed to do, but it's an entirely different thing to say those things and then feel like they aren't helping. And especially with somebody who you just care about so much. So I initially was going to bring her on just to read a post. She was home for Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving break from college. And I was going to bring her on just to read a post that she actually posted on World Mental Health Day in October. And I just thought the post was, it's honestly, it's beautiful. And she does read that. And if you do follow my Instagram or Facebook accounts, I gave a little bit of a snippet there. I actually recorded her reading that and posted that. But I wanted to have her read it and just talk for a little bit about this post that she did on World Mental Health Day back on October 10th, I think it was. But then we just started talking, and I feel like she shared so much good information about what it was like for her as a teenager struggling with depression, why it was so difficult for her to open up to others, what helped her, what she liked or didn't like about how we as her parents tried to help. And I love it. She was really honest about that, what it was like opening up to friends and what her life has been like since opening up. And honestly, about the struggles that even kind of understanding depression more and getting some of the help that she needs, or being open about it, knowing that that doesn't mean that it's gone, knowing that she can still have ups and downs, and even in those times, not 100% sure what to do with them. But so I just feel like she shared so much good information that this kind of turned into a little bit more of a long form interview, and I couldn't wait to share it. So, and again, not just because she's my daughter. So, okay, with that said, let's just get to the interview with my daughter, McKinley, a.k.a. Mackie Overbay. All right, so I will edit things right at the beginning. So we'll come into like now. And the first thing I notice is casual Friday. Right? I've never done a podcast with jeans on.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm kind of honored to be a part of this first time.
Right? Yeah. There was one I think where I had shorts on.
Could you see them?
I don't think so. Okay. Yeah. Because it was kind of frightening because my legs were very white. And the guest that I had, he had these very hairy legs.
You don't have any hair on your
No, exactly. It's a whole other story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So my guest is my daughter, McKinley Overbay. Mackie, welcome to the virtual couch.
Thank you.
Not even on a couch.
No.
Different. Real chairs, expecting. Wasn't yeah. it? Yeah.
It's okay.
The thing that's like, I'm more nervous than when I'm talking to like heads of state, global politician. I don't really talk to any of those, but because all of a sudden like, man, what if this is Mackie's big chance to just out her dad as a complete fraud and lunatic, right? On the podcast. I guess I just wouldn't record. I wouldn't air it.
Yeah, no.
That's
no,
a good point.
Because this is up to you.
So. Okay. So I think we're safe. Okay. Right. But it was funny to me is I'll get feedback, and there are people that really want mom on the podcast.
Can you should that? Do that.
Oh, I go try.
She's a fun time.
I know, but she won't because they want to know. And it's funny to me because the questions are sometimes like, hey, we'd love to know what it's like to be married to a therapist. And my wife's like, your mom, Wendy, says, she's like, you don't want to just give me that free reign. You know, what does that mean? Right?
I don't know.
No, she really doesn't say that. She just says that she doesn't want to and she's shy and that sort of thing. So, but now here you are. Mm-hmm. So first family member, it only took 90 something episodes to get you on. So, but I almost feel like if I ask you, Mackie, what was it like growing up with a dad as a therapist? You're going to be like obligated. You're going to have to say it was wonderful and amazing.
No, but I honestly think it was.
Okay. Oh, please tell me more.
I really do. You were very good at separating being a dad and a therapist.
Very nice to hear.
Yes.
Okay.
You knew when to like turn that on and when to just be a dad.
Okay.
Which I feel like I've talked to you about before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. So it's good. Cause you know, obviously how the mind works, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, you're a very good voice of reason. You know what I mean? Like
No, that's nice to hear. All right.
And I'm not just, I'm being serious.
A lot of the things that I talk about constantly are empathy, and that you can't, you know, nobody wants to be shit on, you know, you should do this, you should do that. And as a parent, mm-hmm. you want to say that stuff all the time, obviously. Right. But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know, as a teenager, you want to be heard, not told what to do.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. And you're very good at that balance and like figuring that out.
I always say that, tell me if I go overboard on this. A lot of times with the, either in sessions, and I probably said it on podcasts, where I would talk about, you know, I just would go up and lay on my kid's floor and just ask them, tell me about your day. Tell me about your whatever. And I feel like when I think about that, I think about doing that in your room.
Yeah. And those are some of like my favorite memories that I have. Like when I'd be in school, college, like I'd be like, oh, there's no one to just come lay on my floor now.
Sometimes I would feel like, okay, you know, here's a, sometimes it would be a little bit hard to find some space on the floor to lay on.
Okay. I keep my room clean.
No, you do. It's very wonderful now. I mean, a lot going on, very busy, and I swear. But I would feel like every now and again, I would open the door, come up from work, and I would start finding a little space and sit down.
Yeah, you're going to just make your little
right. But I would almost feel like you were kind of going like, oh, not now, old man.
I would every time. But
would you?
Like,
I love it.
5 minutes into it, then I'd be like, all right.
Okay.
You'd start talking and it'd be okay.
Okay. Because sometimes I think I would even just say, I'm just going to hang out. Right?
Yeah, and I was like, okay.
Okay. Oh, see, this is good. That's a legitimate answer that you're like, no, I did. I didn't think that
but
was
always
great.
But then it was
okay. Yeah, that was very fun. I enjoyed that a lot. So, okay, a couple quick things, too. First of all, I love that Mackie said, hey, can I sit on this side? And I said, yeah, sure. And then I had to tell her, being very vulnerable and authentic, I've never sat on this side over here. But then Mackie said, no, I've got a good side. And I'm thinking, oh, come on. You know, you're saying that. But then your quote was, why do you have a good side, Mackie?
I have two different noses.
Okay, and where, but... And I was going to say, no, you don't. You look great because that's what a dad does.
Right.
Which I really think
so
you do.
Kind of you.
Right.
Thank you.
But you said it's because of?
My Frisbee incident.
The Frisbee. What happened? What was your Frisbee incident, Mac?
Don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, maybe we can get you on the couch.
Freshman year.
Yeah.
I was at a cross country meet. So I was sitting down eating a bagel. Okay. Just trying to
carving
eat
up.
A bagel. Right. Getting ready.
Yep.
And then out of nowhere, Frisbee just hits me in the nose.
Oh.
And my nose bleeds for like almost 30 minutes.
Man.
And now there's a bump on this side and not on this side. So I have a good nose on this side and not on that side.
And when you just look at me, they look the same.
You're wrong.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's fair. I am
very
wrong.
Different.
Okay. Two different noses. Frisbee incident. But so, yeah. So my daughter, McKinley, nicknamed Mackie. I always wanted, you know, I think I tried to call you Mickey when you were little, but you went
Mackie. That's the story I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. I tried to go with Mickey. I thought that'd be really cute. When, do you remember why you went?
My understanding of it is just you called me Mickey and Mac.
Yeah.
And then... somewhere, I don't know if it was me or if it just somewhere along the line that became Mackie.
Okay.
And I hate it.
You do?
I hate it, but.
We tried to get it to change time too, right? But was it just everybody knew you as Mackie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then even going into college, I was like, I'm McKinley and I'm Mackie.
Oh, I was going to say, is that working?
There are a couple people that call me McKinley, but like, it's Mackie.
So we'll go back and I'll dub out every time it says Mackie, it'll be all McKinley, right?
No, it's okay.
And
this
part will sound
kind
of silly. Okay, acceptance and commitment.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Yes, that's right.
Soon to turn 19, birthday December 24th. I have to ask, what was that like?
I don't have a birthday.
Oh, now I'm all sad.
No,
yeah.
My birthday was
it's
breakfast.
True. I
had about 3 hours.
Birthday breakfast.
I get like 3 hours and then it's Christmas time. And that's okay.
Yeah, December 24th, we would always do Mackie's birthday breakfast.
Yep.
And it was
crepes
and everybody would come over.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. But I want you to know, your mother and I did separately, especially this is what your mom wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of gifts for birthday, tons of gifts for Christmas. Maybe the dad was the one saying, I always think a few of those Christmas gifts.
Oh, really?
I mean, maybe.
Really?
But so you know, your sainted mother was saying, no, we need to go overboard on your birthday and Christmas.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, so do you know that you were actually, your due date was, you were going to be a
Y2K
baby?
I love being a 90s baby.
Okay, born in the 90s. Exactly.
Whole week.
Yeah, you remember it well, right? So you're currently a freshman at BYU Idaho studying what?
Elementary education.
Okay, and you were literally home for Thanksgiving after just a couple months there, your first semester. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, how's Idaho?
It's cold.
It's really cold, I've heard.
It's the worst. I don't like the cold.
Yeah, but you like where you're at?
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been good. It's just, I don't like going outside.
Yeah. Because right now you said, is the coldest so far been 11?
11 degrees. And I walked to my class at 8:30 in the morning.
And you uphill?
Yeah.
No jacket?
No, I wear a jacket.
Okay. I'll set the table so when you have kids someday, it'll be, I walked uphill in the snow both ways.
Oh,
no jacket.
I should have gotten that. Yeah,
you'll get there.
All
right. Yeah. But so it's super cold. It's in Rexburg, which I think the joke is that some people call iceberg.
Always. Yeah.
Always. Yeah. But is that not a very funny joke when you're there?
No.
When we dropped your older sister off a couple of years ago, it was negative for the whole week. And I'd never been in negatives.
I've never experienced negatives.
You're going
terrified.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely terrified.
Yeah. You room with your sister? How's that?
It's really good. She's never there, but it's really good. When she is there, it's good.
Okay. Oh, that's so neat. Has college been what you had hoped it would be? Is it, what's different about college than what you anticipated?
It's weird because it's a lot more like high school just in the classes. Like, I don't know, for some reason I expected it'd feel different, but like it doesn't.
Like, okay, I know what you're saying. It's super harder or all of a sudden. Like,
yeah, it's a lot more work.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. The atmosphere of it is different though because people want to be there.
Yeah.
Which I like. Because in high school it's like, you know, you kind of have to be there for the most part. And then college is like you're paying for your classes. So people are
more
into it. They're more motivated. Yeah. Which I like because then everyone's just kind of nice to each other, supportive of each other. Because we're all just like, you know, we all have so much going on that it's, I don't know.
Everybody's kind of in it together.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they want to be there and they want to be in it together for the most part.
So that part, I didn't see that coming.
Okay. Because you don't, do you not necessarily have the troublemakers in class?
Not at all.
Is that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because growing up, I just feel like that's part of everything, but like it's not.
Okay.
You know, that just doesn't happen.
No, that's nice. I mean,
it is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Why don't we jump into this and then we'll get to I want to talk about your Instagram posts and one of the big reasons I want to have you on. It'll actually be in the description. So it's not like where this is the big reveal, right? I want to talk a little bit about depression. Mm-hmm. But you're in, is your major elementary education or what is it actually called?
Yeah, it's literally elementary education.
Okay. So I like talking about how did you come to that? So we take us back in McKinley's. The way back time machine. At one point, you wanted to be a marine biologist. Remember that?
For a very long time.
Yeah, and you even of course you remember this, but you went through a whole series of interviews, and you won. What was that thing where you went to Davis? It was STEM
tech trip.
Tech trip.
Yeah.
It was like all these women who were in the science fields, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, and that's where you were heading. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, so at one point, I mean, that was what you wanted
to do. I was like very serious about that, and then I scuba diving.
Oh yeah, you got scuba certified. Yeah. You and mom. Did that. Do you know why I didn't do it? Do you ever know?
Because you can't swim.
That's part of it. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I literally can't swim. And we have a pool, right?
Yeah, you've never done that.
I'm very frightened of the water.
I am now, actually.
Are you? Okay.
I enjoyed it when I was 12. And then, I don't know, one day I was like, wow. Actually, no, mom got stuck on some kelp one time. And then I got scared.
Oh, the old kelp incident, right? But I would always do the whole thing of like, no, that's something, Wendy, you and Mackie can bond over that. But then I just thought, really, I was so scared. Yeah. How old were you when you got scuba certified? Eighth grade?
Seventh grade?
13, 14, something like that?
Jake's 14. So yeah. 12 or 13.
Okay, yeah, wild.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and you guys went on dives off the Channel Islands, and I remember we went to Monterey. But so I forgot. Yeah, so you were going to be a marine biologist, and you love penguins.
Yes, still do.
Okay, and I remember we went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and we would watch the penguin stuff over and over. Mm-hmm. And
and I talked to someone one time about it. And I had a dolphin training phase. Like I talked to someone about that too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
So that's where you were headed, but then that went through a little period where were you not quite sure what you wanted to do, or was there really nothing in particular?
I don't even remember. I just know I really want to do that, and then I think once I kind of got over the scuba diving stuff, and I was like, oh, that's kind of important.
Yeah.
So then
Tell me about, though, I don't remember what got you, started tutoring, and why did you start tutoring? Was it just money, job, filthy lucre?
No. So my junior year
of high school,
yes, I was a year ahead in math, just from
humble brag.
In middle school. I wasn't good at it. I wasn't smart. So I was going to take calculus.
Wow.
AP calculus as a junior, and I cannot do math. I can't do it.
The whole time you're ahead a year, you're like, does anybody else see
that?
I had no
idea what I was going. Yeah, but they were just like, So I was in the class for 2 days, and then I was like, I cannot do this. Uh-huh. And so I dropped the class after 2 days.
Okay.
But we had a block schedule, and it was every single day. It was like a two-period class. And so, so I had, you know, two class periods I had to fill up then. So I went and like talked to Taylor, my cousin, and she was in this ROP graphics and animation class. That was two classes, happened to be the same time my calculus class was. So I was like, okay, I'll just take that. I won't take a math and I'll worry about that senior year.
Okay.
So then I was in this pointless class that I had no interest in, the graphics animation thing. But I
never knew you really didn't want to do it.
Oh, I had no interest whatsoever, but I was with Taylor.
It's a pretty clever little project.
I did. It was fun. Okay. So we had like fun there. And then Taylor was tutoring, like she had been doing that as a job. And she was like, hey, you should come do it. Like I'm by myself this day and like, you should just come do it. So I was like, okay, sure, whatever. Like, you know, a little bit of money, I'll do it. So I just went and signed up and started tutoring.
Okay. And what the age group was what?
Third through fifth grade that year.
And you've done babysitting, you've done all that kind of stuff. But what was different about tutoring? Because I remember you loved it, right? Pretty quick, right?
Yeah. I don't even know. It's just something like, I'd never been around that age of kids, I feel like. Like, babysitting is just so different, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just like, I mean, Taylor and I would go in there, they'd get all excited, and it's like, we would literally just, you know, do rounds helping one kid after the other, and just like teaching them, helping them, like, with whatever, you know, not just math stuff. And I just like fell in love with it.
Well, I remember, so are you comfortable talking about, you had shared a couple of experiences where you started to understand what some of the kids were going through in their home.
Yeah.
And you felt like that I felt like you all of a sudden had this epiphany of, man, teachers can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was that?
I think that, so there's like a couple of different little ones that I can like quickly say. So there was like one girl, they'd gone like a field trip and she just like, you know, they'd tell me about their day every time. The second I walked in, they'd all like, you know.
Yeah.
And so she like came up to me and she was all like excited almost. She's like, I had an anxiety attack. And I was like, oh, like, okay. And she was like telling me about it and like on the bus, and she had to like step out, and you know, our teacher just sat there trying to like calm her down or whatever. And so I just like kind of told, you know, I was like, okay, well, if that ever happens, like, let me know. And then it ended up happening. Like, we were just in there, and she would kind of refer to it as she was overheating. Like, that was her way of saying it. And so she had this talent. She's like, Becky, I'm overheating. And I'd be like, okay, come on. And I'd bring her outside, and we would just do breathing stuff. Like, your mindfulness breathing stuff. I would, you know, I'd sit like through that and like just talk her through that type of thing.
Wait, all the stuff that you used to say you did not care for when I would try to force it upon you.
Yes, I'm not a fan of mindfulness.
I know. You're very kind, though, to do. You would still put up with some of it. Yeah. Okay.
So I would just do that with her. And then there's another girl that like, you know, not sure it was totally happening, but then she would act like she would use the phrase overheating as well, you know, and she'd go with it and she'd come outside with us. And like that, you know, it ended up happening a few times throughout that year. And so it's like, yeah, I just realized like in that moment, you know, it was like a little thing that, you know, just, I was just teaching some little things for, you know, just the helpful tools or whatever. And then there was another day that there was just this one girl that just, I mean, she was picking a fight with everybody, and like, she was just so upset, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like talking to another kid in the class, and she ended up crying. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I was like, hey, why don't we just come outside? And I brought her outside and just like started talking to her. And she had like opened up to me. You know, she's a third grader.
Wow.
And she just told me all about like this broken family that she came from, and how she hadn't seen her dad in this long. Her mom was doing, you know, like just all this crazy story that like, I don't know. I never thought about a third grader dealing with that before, you know, that they'd be that impacted by it. And so, you know, I didn't know what to say, but like, I just talked to her. I just hugged her. I told, you know, I was like, I'm your friend. Like, I'll be your, you know, and it's like, I don't know. We just had like a good little conversation. And then from that day forward, it's like, she just kind of had a different attitude, and she'd like walk in there not looking to pick a fight. And she'd like, you know, she'd want to tell me about her day, and she liked talking to me. She'd ask if we could go outside sometimes, and just, you know, and it's just like that little thing where it's like, I don't know, she's in third grade, but she still just kind of needed a friend, needed someone, you know, to know.
She needed empathy, she needed validation.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, I don't know. So yeah, just little things like that, like totally changed my perspective on teachers, just because like, I wasn't a big fan of school, and you know, but it's like, you don't realize how much of an impact people like that in your life have, you know, even at like that young an age.
I love that.
Yeah. So it was like a whole new light.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah, the empathy part, do you feel like, I mean, you've always been pretty good with that anyway. You've had friends come to you and ask for help or advice, or do you feel like that comes natural, or do you feel like that's something that you've had to develop over time?
I feel like it's a little bit of both, and I feel like part of it even goes back to the having a dad as a therapist type thing, just because I feel like that has always been, I don't know, like enforced is kind of an aggressive word, but like enforced, you know, in our house, it's like that's...
Yeah.
We're empathetic people, you know, we listen. And so I feel like part of that was just, I don't know, growing up with you guys as my parents. And then, I don't know, I have just like, I think part of it is just kind of natural, because people always tell me like I'm a good listener type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. And then I think when someone first told me that, I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool thing. And it's like, I would work on it. Like if someone was talking to me, I would like consciously make an effort to make sure I was being a good listener.
So I love that you bring that out, because I do feel like a lot of that is sometimes, and it's almost sad to look back and say, we need permission to kind of nurture some of those things that maybe we would like to be better at. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, when you're young, you don't, you're so nervous about, well, if I kind of go all in on trying to be a good listener or be a good friend, or, you know, that will somebody think I'm doing it wrong or that I'm not good at it. Or, you know, I remember somebody telling me when I was in high school that I was good at doing the announcements and that I should be a public speaker. One person said that. Mm-hmm. And then exactly. And I was like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
Right. It's so like, from that day forward, it's like, I know, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the growing up, when you were saying that, yeah, therapist thing, do you remember how you guys would mercilessly tease me for trying to teach you EFT skills? Emotionally
focused therapy? Yeah, we call it EMT. We change the letters. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of got it as a joke, but.
Yeah, I remember the Spaghetti Factory, Newport Beach, on vacation, and the whole family there. Yeah. Remember that? I'm like, no, guys, come on. Like, let me just.
You're like trying to be serious about it. And we were just, yeah.
And you're like, Mackie's not doing EMT. I'm like, it's not EMT, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, gosh, you guys got me. That was a good one.
That was funny.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. That was, you know, it's probably okay. Didn't like that.
No, I did. It's funny. But, you know, at least we were talking, right?
Yes.
It was good. Okay. So one of the, and I saw you anyway, thanks for going on the part about the teacher. Okay, one really quick thing too. I cannot believe when I talk to you when you're at school, and I didn't realize that when you're learning how to be a teacher, that you're literally learning how to like do stuff with little kids and how to teach them, right? So, I mean, isn't part of the homework where we joked about you're doing construction paper and crayons? Yeah. And I mean, have you gotten into much of that yet?
Yeah. So in my geography class, we get like this workbook packet every week, and it's like, there's part of it that's all this, you know, it requires a lot of work and effort and answering questions and all that. But then half of it is literally just you color and label your maps. And that's like, that is a big part of it. Because it's like those little things are so important.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And then we go in that class as well. We have these like lesson plan presentations that we have to do. Uh-huh. So you have to come up with a lesson plan and then demonstrate like the little activity you do. You have to bring treats in. Like,
you took my joke. I was going to say like, oh, I would be bringing snacks and like,
no, you have to, like it's part of it.
How cool is that?
It's super cool. Cause then you get the, like, it's not easy. Like we have all the hard, you know, learning stuff, but then there's also this side of it where you're literally learning how to, you know, like let these kids have fun while learning and stuff. So it's,
If you went in there and said, hey, for the first 15 minutes, I think we should all be now. Would that go over well?
The presentations are only supposed to be 5 minutes. So maybe,
okay.
I could try it. Like, you know,
okay. No, that's good. But so one of the things that I really was excited to bring you on is, and I wrote down the notes here on October 10th, which was World Mental Health Day. And you've been pretty open about on your social media accounts, you've been pretty open about having some struggles with depression. Or would you say you've been pretty open? I mean, at one point you then said, hey, here's what I'm dealing with. I guess that wasn't too long ago, right?
Yeah.
Was it in the senior year of high school? Okay.
So there was one day that I just decided, like, I just really, I don't know, I felt like it was something I would be okay with like talking about.
Yeah.
Just because I had slowly like started opening up to more of my friends.
Yeah,
and I was
exactly.
like, well, what's, and I noticed how it was
okay.
kind of more of a positive thing.
Yes.
And so then I was like, why not just throw it out there?
Yeah.
And like, so that was May 20th that I first like
May 20th.
Posted something.
Do you, is that something you mind reading?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. What'd you post that day?
So I just said, started with a quote, be kind for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And then I just said, today I was reminded that we all go through things. Every single one of us, a little over 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety. It's something I deal with every day and something that hasn't been easy. And is something I've chosen to keep to myself and a few close others until recently. But I've learned that I'm not alone in it. We are never alone. Life is not easy and that's okay. But we need to be there for each other always. We all have stories and there's nothing wrong with sharing them. We all have good days and we all have bad days and that's okay. Choose kindness always because you never know what those around you are going through. And then I showed a picture of the bracelet I have with a little sun on it. And I just said, I wear a bracelet with a sun charm on it every single day as a reminder that there's light in every day and in every moment. There is good in today. Look for it. And remember that brighter days are coming. The sun always rises. And then I just said, more kindness, more love.
Oh, the response was overwhelming.
It was crazy. I don't know. I figured maybe, you know, my friends would say something
but
I had so many people that I hadn't talked to in years or that I barely knew, like reaching out to me and just saying, just kind of thanking me for it and saying that, like, I don't know. Cause you know, on social media, everyone posts the good stuff and you know, everyone knows that. And so it's like, I had a couple of people saying that, like, your life seems so perfect. Everything seems so perfect. It's like, it was so comforting to see that, like, you know, that I deal with crazy stuff too. And it's not, you know, and, and it was just, I don't know. So that was eye opening to me then that like everyone deals with stuff.
Yeah. They really
do. Don't talk about it, but everybody is dealing with stuff. And so that, I feel like after that post, that was like, I don't know. I feel like I'm all about kindness, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like I kind of just became like an advocate for kindness after that. And that's just been like, I don't know, again, with the good listening thing, it's something that then once I realized that was something I was trying to work on, it's like, I just kept working on that. And it's like, I've said, you know, I've mentioned, like, I just feel like I'm a much kinder person now than I was before. And it's like, I don't know, that's kind of a little side note, but
no,
that's
it's
something
good.
That I've worked on.
It's
and
so
I've,
good.
Like, yeah. I've tried to make a characteristic of mine.
Okay. Which is, it shows when people say, but no, it's just who I am. You can, with that awareness, you can work on that, right? So if your goal is being kind, you can still have, you're going to have the feelings. You're going to get angry, frustrated, whatever. But then, you know.
If you kind of make that a priority and you work on that, it's like, so I feel like I just, I've tried to, I don't know, work on that and make it a priority. And I do truly feel like it's now.
Kind of becoming kind of your, becoming, in your DNA,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
What I forgot about with that was, you know, it, what was so wonderful for me to see you post that was, obviously as a dad, but it was the therapist in me too, that when I am laying on your floor and we are talking about, you know, opening up to your friends, or when you would feel at times like your friends were, not that you would say they aren't there for me, but it was basically like, they don't get it. Or if you were really feeling down, we would say, man, just go be with your friends. Right. Mm-hmm. And you were like, they won't understand, or they're going to ask me why. And you would just kind of, I think that was when you were worried that if they know that I'm depressed, right.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it's, you know, again, not a productive thought to think, man, if I would only let them know earlier. And who knows? I mean, everybody's kind of matures differently, and maybe they would have handled it differently. Or, but I mean, I do feel like that, that at its core, would you tell us, what would you tell somebody now if they were listening, which a lot of people are going to be listening,
right?
And, right. I don't, And so a lot of people are going to be listening. And if they're in, if somebody in high school, or if it's a parent who has a teenager, and they're going to say, hey, listen to this. I mean, that's what's going to happen. What would you say about that? Opening up to friends or being more vocal about some of the struggles. What would you say now?
I feel like there's no harm in doing it, because like, I know there's all this stigma with like, you know, mental health stuff, but I don't know. I just feel like for me, it was like, for me, it's like, it's clinical. It's like, it's in my brain. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just this thing that's like always there, but it doesn't define me. It's not a part of me.
Right.
So it was just kind of accepting that and realizing that, like, this is something I have to deal with, and it's something that I will most likely deal with for the majority of my life. And it's like, you know, yeah, that sucks, but you kind of just have to accept that it is what it is, and then try to do the most productive things that you can with it. So then for me, I realized that was, you know, opening up about it. And then, so it's like, once I had accepted it and become comfortable with the fact that it was a trial I would have to deal with, I had no problem opening up about it and just being like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. And it's like, you know, we're all human beings, and people are way more empathetic than you think they'll be.
Right.
So I felt like once I did open up, it's like, first of all, a lot of my friends already kind of had a suspicion or whatever, but it's like, once I had opened up about it, then they felt like they could kind of be there for me more. And
well, okay. And I like that, because I do feel like people at their core do want to help, but often they don't know what to do.
And if you don't even give them the opportunity to do anything, it's like, it's just, it's not productive for anybody.
Yeah.
So I feel like opening up about it then opened that door for communication, and then for them to be there for me, which then allowed me to be there for them. You know, it's just like the whole thing. And so I would just, so I would just say, like, it's really hard to open up about it, and it's not easy. And some people might think of you differently or look at you differently, but it's like, I think it's so worth it to just be open about it and be vulnerable and be able to have like those conversations with people. And then, you know, as cheesy as it is, it's like the people that really do care.
I was going to say the same thing.
And they'll do everything in their power to be there for you and help you. And, you know, so it's in a weird way, it almost then kind of helps weed out. Like,
I was going to say thin the herd.
Exactly.
And it does in a productive way though. And then no judgment on people if they don't know what to do with it or they can't handle it. Because who knows? I mean, they probably have their own other stuff that they're dealing with. And if they, then someday they'll probably realize, wow, I should have been there. I could have opened up or that, you know, that sort of thing. I really like that though. So you're saying that, you would say, hey, talk about it, open up.
And just, it's one of those things you just kind of have to throw it out there. Like, I don't know, again, another kind of side note, but like, cause it was so hard for me to talk about. And it's like, so I just typed out that, you know, for that thing, I just typed that out. I read it to you guys and I was like, is that okay? And then I literally just like 3, 2, 1 posted it.
Yeah.
And then I just put my phone away.
Did I cry when you read it? too.
You got a little.
Yeah, a little misty. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, and so it's like I post it and I put my phone away and I was like, you're not going to delete it. Yeah. You're not going to look at what anyone says. And I just left it for the rest of that day. And then I looked the next day and it's like, you know, like you have to do it.
Yeah.
You just have to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth it.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm glad we went into that one too. Mm-hmm. So then, because I think the big thing there is that doesn't mean that then, man, now that that's out there, I will never have a bad day again.
No, not at all.
Right?
But now, it makes it easier because now it's out there. And yeah. So, and then I felt like, yeah, so with a lot of my friends say, you know, they wanted to do something, I didn't have to try to make up an excuse.
Yeah,
I could
exactly.
just be like, you know what? Like, honestly,
yep.
I'm feeling kind of down. I'm not, you know, and
mental
it was just,
health day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and then sometimes I'd say that and they'd be like, that's totally fine. You should just come anyways. And like, we get it. You know, uh-huh. Don't feel like you need to do anything. Don't, you know, and it's like, so I feel like it was just good on both ends.
Yeah.
And it just helped.
That and I think up at college, I mean, it's so, you know, obviously your mom and I were so, we can't wait for her to get to college. It's going to be so good. And that whole way up, I mean, I thought it was so fun. We drove out there with you and I really felt like it was a lot of fun, but there was still that maybe things don't go well. In the back of my mind, I'm like, you know,
yeah.
Right.
And honestly, I kind of just assumed, I was like, this is going to suck. I'm going to hate it. I'll be home
right.
soon. Yeah.
Right.
That was kind of my
right.
Mind.
And the truth
yeah.
is, I mean, so you know, for parents listening, I mean, there was that reality of, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can to get you in the position. Mm-hmm. But it was like, but I was prepared if you were going
to just kind of say, hey,
like,
actually,
okay, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And you and I even talked about it almost to the point where I felt like, oh, did I make it too appealing?
Yeah.
Right? Matthew, we'll be going on runs and go to the gym. If you come back, uh-huh. it's okay. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Right? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But no. And it like, I don't know.
And
it wasn't like that at all. So.
Well, and part of us, when there's, since you've been up there, I mean, it seems like it's just been amazing to hear how much you've enjoyed it. I mean, there was a little down period, right?
Yeah. And I still, I mean, you know,
and that's why I think different now that you're kind of being more open about it,
mm-hmm.
is it almost like, okay, I know that the down stuff's going to be there and I know it's going to, but now it's like, okay, no, I'm going to hunker down and I'm going to make
yeah.
it through. And then
mm-hmm.
do you know that then, I don't know, what was it like when you've had a down since you went up there? Did you feel like, oh, here we go? Or did you feel like, all right, settle in boys, you know, let's give this a few days and I know I'll be back.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like I kind of just accept it. I'm like,
uh-huh.
hey, this is how it's going to be. It might be just this day. It might last a couple of days. Like, I have
yeah.
no idea. But I just, you know, I acknowledge what I'm feeling. And I, you know, I just kind of buckle up. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
here we go. And then, you know, now that I've, like, opened up about it, it's like I could, there were a couple of friends that I knew I could, you know, just
yeah.
say, hey, come over, like, do this. Or if I wanted space, then I could, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There were just ways to deal with it. And I would just count on the fact that, like, I knew it would get better.
Okay.
And so then I would just try as hard as it is to, like, you know, do the little thing, make sure I did my homework
okay.
or get myself out of my room or,
okay.
like, just go step outside
good.
Or, like, I'd open my window and sit on my roof. Like, just, you
okay.
know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
like, try to do the little tiny things, but just kind of at the same time accept that, like, bring me down for a little bit.
No, but I like that, though. So
yeah.
it's still that awareness and just even a little bit of movement was good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can address if someone's listening and their friends or they have a friend that struggles with depression when they're having one of those down days,
mm-hmm.
what helps? I mean, you know, because I think everybody just wants to say, hey, it's okay. Like, don't worry about
yeah.
it. Or just come on with us. Or what does help?
I mean, first of all, just the whole you're not going to fix them. You can't fix them.
Okay.
Don't try to fix them because
yeah.
that's.
It's not like you haven't thought of, oh, wait,
yeah.
if I went outside for a walk.
Yeah,
that, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I don't know. Just. First of all, yeah, don't go into it being like, I'm going to fix you. I'm going to make you happy. I'm, you know, because
yeah.
that's just not.
Whether you want
realistic.
To or not,
that's
we're
not,
going
yeah,
to. Yeah,
that's not how it works. And so I think one thing is just saying like I am here for you. And it's more like, let me know if you need anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when I'm feeling down, I do want space. And I just kind of, you know, I'm like, this sucks. This is how it's going to be. But I just, you know,
yeah.
let me process this. Let me get through this. But then other times I'm like, I need someone to be here. I need, you know, and it's
yeah.
like, so just, yeah, that type of thing. And then it's like, it's the little tiny things that help too. Like one of my friends one day, she knew I was feeling down and it's like, she randomly showed up unannounced and she just had some cookies and she was
aww.
Like, I don't know how to make you feel better. She was like, but I know I like food. So here's some food.
Aww,
like just, you know,
cute.
And it's like, not even that, you know, I didn't even really want, I wasn't hungry, like whatever, but it's like, just the fact that she went out of her way to do that helps
yeah.
in the moment so much and just shows like, wow, this person really does care.
That's
like,
nice.
And just a reminder that like, it's going to be okay. There are people
yeah.
there, you know, I don't know, just little things like that.
Do I like your reminds me of story? San Diego, the Cuyamuca 100K. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I do.
So Wendy and I were going to go. I was running a race, 100K, 62 miles in these, I would say the jungles of San Diego. It was more the forests of San Diego.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had forests, right?
But they do.
They do. And then you were saying that you wanted to go with us. You were just feeling like, right? It was like, yeah. It was like, I was feeling
kind of down. And yeah. I don't know. I don't like to be by myself necessarily.
At times when you're feeling
sometimes,
that way.
Sometimes. And at that time, I was like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, I don't want to be by myself. And that was kind of mixed with like more anxiety stuff too. Like I was very panicky kind of, and I just didn't want to be by myself.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then I was just like, can I go with you guys?
So we got another ticket. We went down to San Diego, and then not only that, but Wendy was going to pace me, what was that, 18 miles? The last 18 miles?
Yeah.
And Mackie said, I'm in. And we ran, me, you, and Mom ran the last 18 miles of this race.
In the dark.
Trails. The trails. How was that?
It's seriously like one of the best things I've ever done.
Me too. Like by far.
Yeah. One of my favorite like memories that I have.
Yeah. I wasn't as well trained, but I didn't care.
No, we were just having a fun time.
Oh gosh, we were having fun.
Like it was fun. Yeah. And yeah. So I think kind of just going off of that, just like as hard as it is, like you just have to force yourself to like do little things. Like just, you know, it was like even just saying, okay, I'm going with you guys.
Right.
Like, I didn't want you necessarily. I
know, because we never talked about it, but because Wendy and I were, we're going to get away. And I bet you were, I just was so proud of you for how hard that must have been.
Because I didn't want to interrupt it. I didn't want to like, you know, but I was like, I just knew that I needed to I shouldn't just be home by myself. And so, just saying like, okay, I'm going to go. And then all of a sudden you bought a ticket and then it's like, all right, well now I can't back out of it, Like just, And so then it's like, I was kind of forced to go, but then it ended up being so helpful and then so fun and it's so good.
That is. Okay. So, it's funny that this we cover. So this is so much good stuff. I want to get to Mac already. Thank you. Like I didn't even think about the parts about with friends and about being vulnerable and opening up in that first post. Cause the main post that I was going to do was the one October 10th, World Mental Health Day. And so what kind of led up to this post? So this was October 10th. I mean, we're just talking less than like a month and a half ago or so.
Yeah.
So what led up to this post?
I didn't like have any plans of doing that. And then I just saw that like it was World Mental Health Day on Snapchat, Instagram, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'd like seen a couple people like post things, just saying whatever. And I was like, this is an opportunity that I can like say something. And at first I didn't know what, I didn't know if I wanted to actually say anything or just be like, hey, it's World Mental Health Day, like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just started like in my notes, just started typing something out. And then I felt like it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I thought, might as well throw it out there.
Okay. Keep your phone.
Yeah.
I'll record you reading this on the podcast that we're recording so then I can, I don't know how the social media stuff, you got to unlock that or open that or whatever. Give me your camera. Give me your, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So, all right. I don't even know if this makes sense.
I don't know what's going on.
But look at that right there. Whoa. Okay. So, all right. So can you read that post? This was October 10th, World Mental Health Day.
Yes.
Okay.
About 6 months ago, my depression and anxiety were at an all-time high, my life at an all-time low. I didn't want to be here anymore, and I was beyond ready to give up, but I didn't. I'm still here, and I'm still fighting. Life is so hard, but it always gets better. I can promise you that. This life is beautiful and worth sticking around for. I am so grateful for every moment and opportunity I've had in this life so far, and look forward to so many more. I cherish every laugh and smile and cheer, the good days and the bad. There are so many people I haven't met yet, things I haven't done, seen, heard, or experienced, jokes I haven't heard, places I haven't been, songs I haven't learned on the piano, dogs I haven't pet, sunsets I haven't watched, and so many pictures I haven't taken yet. So today, I'm happy to be alive, and I hope that you are too. Be kind always, not only to others, but to yourself too. Check in on your friends often, tell the people you love that you love them, spread love and only love. This world needs more light, so do everything you can to be that light. And no matter what you do or what you go through, don't ever, ever, ever give up.
I love that. You did. You had a lot of pictures of a lot of the things that were important.
I had just 10 of my most favorite pictures ever. Like just of my friends and me, a place and event.
So do you, I preach authenticity, vulnerability.
Yes.
Right. I noticed there were no pictures of me and Mom.
Oh my gosh. We're having a moment. Oh, man. I only had 10.
I know.
You can only post 10.
We knew that you were so comfortable with us that we were given.
Okay.
Right.
And if I could have posted 11, you already know you would have been.
I would have been 11.
Just calm down.
Exactly.
Okay.
get what I love. And okay, there's so many good things in here. The dogs I have a pet.
I love dogs.
You do, okay. And you have such a fun. You have two fun dogs, don't you? You call them your kids.
I remember my kids.
Yeah, and they're so much fun. You're around them right now with a break. But a couple things I thought were pretty fun here just to cover. You said songs I haven't learned on the piano. This is that part where did you even know all of the work that you were doing in high school when you were feeling down? I mean, you learned how to draw and draw well. You learned how to play the ukulele. You learned how to play the piano. You learned how to play the guitar. You learned to sing. You learned all of these things. What was that about? What was going on with that?
I didn't even I didn't realize important that was.
Yeah.
But there would just be times where I felt so just hopeless. So I just didn't want to do anything. I had nothing to do. And so it's I would just, pull out a piece of paper and I'd start sketching something. And sometimes I'd only sketch for a couple minutes and then I'd be I don't want to do this anymore. So I'd stop. But it's I just, just little things like that. And then I had art classes in school. So I'd be drawing there and it just became kind of a distraction.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't even necessarily trying to learn or get better at things like that. It was just it just took my mind off of everything else. So it was something I could focus on. So yeah. So I would just start drawing. I was not good at first. And it's now I'm
really
good.
No, you are. That's the humble part of you. But it was crazy though, how much better you got at that. Mm-hmm. I still put on the notes, by the way, I put your makeup game is strong, right? Maybe you got in anything. You just were okay, I'm going to learn about
whatever.
Baking for a while. I swear every Sunday you made something.
Yes.
Maybe more than every Sunday.
All the time.
Yeah. Every few days.
Yeah. And I mean, the piano, the ukulele, the guitar, I taught myself because there was just I was just looking for anything, any little thing of hope or something I could enjoy or, because there were times where I was so down that I just needed one little thing that was I like this or I'm good at this.
Yeah.
Or not even running. I got super into running for a long time.
And that's a part that sometimes I look back, I know that it's, hey, what was it like for therapists and dad, but in our area here, mm-hmm. did you ever get tired of, because that would be the runs for the school. And it's was that annoying?
I don't think it was. I think maybe my siblings might think it was, but for me, that was I would say running is my thing. I enjoy it. And so for me, that was oh, cool. We're doing this, And so I dug it. I liked it. But
Mackie had, you were really your middle school years. I remember you won a 5K outright. Was that eighth grade or something? Meeting guys and everything after my 24-hour run, right?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And then we would do a lot of family 5Ks, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. Did really well in those. That was fun. I mean, that was your thing. You enjoyed
it. Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, freshman sophomore year, really good. And then you started getting a little
bit. My knees started to
little injuries, right? Which is kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was your thing.
It was my thing.
I used to love, do you remember when we would go out of town for whatever reason, and we would just, you and I remember Sydney, maybe even Alex or Jake at times, we would just go runningly explore mm-hmm. an area or town or whatever.
Yeah. I remember one time we tried to catch a bunny.
Totally. That's what I was thinking too, in Tahoe, South Lake Tahoe.
That's the one I go straight to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that was so fun. And then, we'd run on the beach anytime we were on the beach.
Yeah, starfish, all that stuff, seahorn, all that.
Yes. That's all good stuff.
Right? That was fun. That was. Tell me, piano lessons. You didn't want to take them. That's my biggest, regret. It's but Alex learned to play. You learned to play. I mean.
Yeah. And that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because
are you going to make your kids take piano lessons? There's a million dollar question, Maggie.
I don't know. Because I hated piano lessons.
Right.
I didn't take them for a long time.
Right.
I just hated them. And so it's not like I could really play the piano. I understood the basics of it, but I couldn't really play it because I just hated it. I wouldn't practice. And then I don't remember what, but finally got mom to let me not take them anymore.
Yeah.
And then I didn't play for years, completely forgot. And then I took some little beginner piano class in high school.
Uh-huh.
Didn't really learn anything, but then it got me thinking oh, I kind of like this. It'd be kind of cool if I could just, sit down and bust out something awesome on a piano.
Yeah.
So then, when I was feeling down or whatever, I was all right, maybe I'll try to pick that up. And then I just remember taking we had all those super beginner books, piano books and stuff. And I would just
Do you know do you know the story behind those?
No.
So I always wanted to play the piano. I never took piano lessons. And then I don't know if you remember, there was a lady that would come over
Sandra Montgomery to teach me lessons, and I would never practice. And she would be like, I'll stay with you. And finally, I felt so bad for wasting her time. So then I was like, I'll buy these books and I'll teach myself. And I never did that either. And then I felt like I almost obsessively collected beginner piano material for when I learned. Me, well, exactly, which makes me so happy.
Because I remember finding them in the garage and I was like,
oh gosh.
Yeah. And so it's like, I just kind of worked on that. And I just, I got to a point where I was playing the piano every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I could, like, you know, I can sight read now. I can read pretty much anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I don't know. But I don't know, because the kid question, I don't know if I'd want my kids to, just because I didn't get anything out of it when I hated it.
So at its core, I mean, that is like a parenting issue, building trust with your kid. I feel like I'm overselling this now, but I feel like it all boils down to the way the piano thing works. Because it's like, I never have met someone who, when they're an adult, regrets that they took piano. But I have talked to plenty of people on my couch that say, with that said, I don't feel like my parents, gave me any choice. And maybe there's even a little resentment there. So what a fine line to...
Yes. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. But I feel like I will gladly play the piano with my kids.
Yeah.
Teach them some stuff, but not be like, hey, you have to go do this.
Yeah.
You know?
So if you're playing around the home, the thought is that my love of piano will roll
kind
up
of
on
just
them.
Project that rather than, hey, you have to do this.
So I will live it, not just say, you need to do this.
I don't know if that, then we'll find, whatever kids are like, I do want to do that.
Yeah.
I do like the musical, kind of opens that up.
Yeah.
I could totally change. I don't know. I'm 18.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Just throwing it out there.
Exactly. The only thing we didn't on the notes, was it last year this time we ran the half marathon in Davis?
Yeah.
Last year? So. Yeah. You were seeing it right. And it poured rain the whole time?
Yes.
But it was a blast.
It was.
We met our goals and we did all that kind of stuff too, right? Mackie, thanks for coming on today.
Yes, of course.
We covered way more ground than I thought.
I know.
Right? It was really cool though, because I feel like you really did a nice job of expressing, just that whole, what it's like to open up about something that can feel scary or...
I hope it made sense.
I
kept getting ahead of myself.
No, you didn't. No, it made a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think that, so parents who are listening to this, let your teenage daughter hear or your teenage son hear, because here's a beautiful woman, young woman beside me that was like worried about opening up about it. And opening up on social media, open up to your friends. And again, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be tough times ahead. But
make it easier for yourself.
Yeah.
Open up about it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So can you help me get mom on the podcast next?
I will try my best.
I literally invited her today to just come watch us.
She should have.
I know. She said she had stuff going on. And I was going to try to rope her in then.
I'll talk to her.
Okay. I'll have to edit this part out. So when she hears that, then
she'll
won't.
No idea.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Mackie, thanks for coming on the virtual couch. We'll have you back.
Yeah. In like a month, probably.
Sounds good. Yeah,
possibly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I feel like there's other things I should say to wrap it up that would be much more clever, but...
That was pretty solid.
Okay. So we'll meet again, man.
Yes.
Okay.
Compressed emotions flying past, our heads and out the other end. The pressures of the daily grind, it's wonderful. Elastic waste and rubber ghost, I'm floating past the push aside the things that matter most. It's wonderful. I have to wonder which ghost is mine. He eats my ponder and somehow takes up all my time. The screen my flies, they tickle all my fancies. I'm too vomit. It drives
sisters don't explode.